Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Artie Edwards from the top of the world, from the cold, cold northern hemisphere, Minnesota, if you will. Wind chill is about 24, 25 below zero, west of wind chill. That's not the ground temperature. Ground temperature is about maybe one above zero here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. They're talking tomorrow morning, my friends, 30 below zero, ground temperature, if you will. People said climate change is not for real, if you will. By the way, article in New York Times this morning indicates coldest temperatures ever have been monitored, reviewed, assessed, and cataloged in the Arctic, if you will. The lowest temperatures ever in the history. And, of course, they allegedly started keeping this back in 1900, if you will. So it's been quite a while. But and actually, there were explorers and et cetera who were going into the Arctic in the 1880s and et cetera. But anyways, here in Minnesota, man, it is very interesting. Then we got a snowstorm coming on Friday, 5, 6, 7, 8 inches. But they're talking Sunday morning, by the way, there will drop back down to about 26, 27 below zero wind chill. Wind chill could be on Sunday, depending on the amount of wind gusts and et cetera, could get down around 40, 45, 46. The lowest I've ever seen it here in my lifetime was way back in 1980, 81, wind chill at 76 degrees below zero. That was the wind chill now. That wasn't the ground temperature. The ground temperature was about 36 that particular night. But anyways, we've got a lot to talk about tonight. Hey, the world watches closely the preparation by his new empirical and imperial majesty, Brother Donald, and the Donald family, if you will. I tell you, this country is in for one rough ride. It'll be interesting to see what the midterm elections in 2018 are going to look like if the Republicans will even still be around. But it doesn't make any difference. The Soviet Union now controls, quote-unquote, the voting process in the United States of America. All I know is a lot of people don't want to face up to it and deal with it and et cetera, but there was clearly something very wrong back on November the 8th, if you will. But we'll talk about that the second part of the program. Again, my colleague, Mr. Allen, is on continued sabbatical, if you will. Hopefully we'll be back with us, I don't know, in about maybe 30 days or whatever, if you will. He has a number of chores and responsibilities that he has taken on. And so it'll be sometime in January, I do believe, before he will be returning to the airwaves. And we'll be able to open the phone lines and et cetera. But right now, the commitment in this corner is for a series of editorial reflections, investigative reports, if you will, particularly here in the Twin Cities, things that are happening, things to be prepared for. Elizabeth Glidden, term councilwoman from the 8th Ward, Democrat 8th Ward, announces surprisingly that she will not be running for another term. I was asked by some what my observation was. I don't know. She may be thinking about running for mayor because, interesting enough, current incumbent mayor, first-term mayor, Betsy Hodges, but a two-term council member, has been somewhat slow in announcing her intentions, though I do assume that she will run again in 2017, but that election is a whole year off, if you will. Chris Coleman over in St. Paul indicating he would not want to run for another term and has now admitted that he will be running for governor in the elections of 2017. current incumbent, Mark Dayton, who is not in the best of health. I think some of us know that, recognize it, but out of decency and respect, stay away from talking about it. I just think it serves no purpose whatsoever. Governor Dayton has indicated quite some time ago that he will not be a candidate for another term, and so there will be a lot of Democrats and Republicans battling and fighting, and so, you know, 2017 is going to be an interesting year for the city of Minneapolis. Now, it's already getting to the point of a very interesting year in the legislature. The Minnesota legislature will convene in early January. And this comes at a rather interesting time. You know, for those of you that attention, read the papers, and et cetera, the big story, front page, big picture of legislative auditor James Noble, not to be confused with state auditor. In fact, the legislative auditor, who is actually under the control, custody, and responsible to the legislature, is really, though that was not the constitutional intention, is more powerful than the elected state auditor. Of course, you know, we're getting to a place in this country where popular vote doesn't mean anything. You just make up something to offset that, and just a person just kind of is positioned based on who is in power. I mean, that's what's happened with President-elect Donald Trump, who has clearly indicated his, I don't want to say his obedience or et cetera to Vladimir Putin, the strongman of the Russian Federated Republic, but it's quite clear that Vladimir Putin will have a lot to say. I know, again, maybe you don't like that, but will have a lot to say about the politics of America, what will happen, what will happen, who will become even richer, if you will, monetarily and financially and et cetera. There will probably be, over the next year, you know, a couple of accidents, airplane crashes and et cetera. it's going to be very interesting. In the meanwhile, people of color, been the situation since the end of the Second World War in 1945, continue to die in disproportionate numbers to the planet, if you will, but no one wants to talk about that. We'll touch on that a little bit more in the second half hour. But right now, the reason we mentioned James Noble, he is the man of the hour. He is conducting an examination. He will be reporting to the legislature in early January on what has happened, the possibility of corruption, if you will, malfeasance, if you will, criminal possible activity, if you will, as it pertains to the Sports Facility Authority, if you will, under the control of two very beloved Democrats, if you will, Helm Haglund, if you will, and, of course, little Teddy Mondale, whose father was a longtime United States Senator and then Vice President for a while. It all started, here's how it really all started. It all started when some Republicans began to realize they were seeing a lot of folks who were of the Democratic persuasion, you know, going to events at our beautiful, beautiful 1.6 billion, they keep saying 1.1 stadium. And by the way, the final financial report won't be out for at least another year, that a lot of Democrats, and, you know, hanger-on and et cetera, which included a rather interesting cadre out of the African-American community, if you will. And what was interesting to this commentator and observer was that many of the individuals who were rubbing elbows, knees, or whatever with Ted Mondale and with Calum Haglund, if you will, were some of the same people that were talking about the prosperity that had descended upon the African-American community during the course of the construction of People's Stadium, at the end, we say, a $1.6 billion operation when the final bills come in, and that it was quite obvious that no one had any interest whatsoever of asking the Sports Facility Authority and the legislature, particularly the Special Oversight Committee of both the House and the Senate, who were supposedly watching to see that the right thing was done with regards to the legislation and the intent, and, you know, allowing, quote-unquote, the least of our people, people of color, Native Americans, Asians, definitely the blacks, to enjoy some of the wealth. Now, there has been some enjoyment, but it's basically what you call colored dollars. Small amounts, if you will, $200,000 to $300,000. We're not talking about, you know, $500 million in construction materials, and et cetera. And so there had been a rumor for quite some time that, number one, and it was actually shown back on, what was it, the 8th of October for some of you guys and girls, when the Sports Facility Authority and the Vikings at a big feast. It was remindful of the days of the Romans and the Greeks, you know, when people would come in and glut, if you will, and enjoy big meals, and sometimes tributes, financial tributes, were made available to those that were basically betraying their own kind, their own people, and et cetera. So there had been some concern about the fact that this commentator, as an example, had been asking too many questions for over 3 years about how was there going to be a final accounting on all of these great, quote-unquote, declarations of inclusion, if you will. For over 3 years, we wrote continuously in the Minnesota Sports Recorder, on these radio programs, on our television program, and et cetera, that the information, the documentation was not correct, if you will, that there was significant fraud going on. And so actually 3 years ago, we, the man who is on the front page of this morning's Minneapolis Star Tribune, the great James Noble of Arkansas, if you will, though his actual roots are deep, deep, deep in the state of Minnesota. In fact, a county called Nobles County down in southwestern Minnesota is named for his great-great-great-granddaddy, who was quite, quote-unquote, the man here in the state of Minnesota 150 years ago. But James Nobles indicated that he had no interest in opportunity for African-Americans in enjoying, quote-unquote, the prosperity that was going to come out of the People's Stadium, and et cetera. So it was rather interesting to watch his activity once the November 27th article in the Star Tribune appeared, after information had been leaked to the Star Tribune, that there was a violation of Minnesota law taking place with regards to gifts, quote-unquote, under the category of gifts, if you will, under Minnesota law. And that a whole host of individuals, apparently now what has come out is that all Democrats, for the last week and a half, the Sports Facility Authority has been scrambling to find some Republicans who would indicate that they received free tickets and other kinds of goodies, and et cetera. Couldn't find anything. In fact, the governor really made a mistake. He should not have put a member Griffin, who is a white executive with Target, you really shouldn't have put him off the off the board for raising questions about double salaries and et cetera, and the whole situation with Michelle receiving a salary of about $16,000 less than Ted Mondale, you know, and in the state capitol for the last couple of sessions, 2015, 2016, Republicans have been heard to make, you know, kind of disparaging remarks about the Democratic pork barreling, if you will, the hawk pen, as they talked about it. My concern was what was happening to the African Americans, to my people, if you will. And starting with the State Commissioner of Human Rights, I knew that all the information was bogus. I know that Alex Tittle was being a part of falsifying the numbers. The State Commissioner of Human Rights was a part of certifying and signing off on the actually perjury that was going on, the misrepresentation, the false figures, and et cetera. In the meanwhile, a group of African-American leaders, male and female, had been recruited as far back as 2013, 2014, to be positioned to champion, quote-unquote, this corruption. Notice what we said, to champion the corruption, indicate that everything was fine, prosperity was everywhere. They had difficulty, though, putting out the necessary figures because of the presence of this commentator, this journalist that is talking on this program around the world and domestically and right here in the state of Minnesota. We knew what the plan was to, if necessary, destroy, quote-unquote, any person that raised any questions about the authenticity of numbers and et cetera. We appeared to be the only individual that consistently and who had a platform raised questions about the authenticity of the numbers, the fact that there was criminal conspiracy and et cetera. And as we said before, 3 years ago and then again a year ago, we raised a question to the legislative auditor, Mr. Nobles, who basically sent word back, you know, that the colored situation was not something he was interested in. And as a son of Arkansas, if you will, he cannot be expected, you know, this was the conversation amongst he and his peers, to be bothered with the Negro problem. And so even though we are now being told this is basically for our national and international audience, there is so much despair and economic collapse here in Minnesota of the African-American community that it is a crime. It certainly is a tragedy. It is all around us. It can be seen. It is the reason for a significant increase in drugs, health, and et cetera in this state and particularly in the metropolitan area. But, you know, no one seemed to care. But the Republicans got ticked off. You know, they were watching Democrats enjoy the best of conditions in life, partying, enjoying the People's Stadium, if you will. And, you know, the Republicans felt that, you know, they needed to be able to bring their families and their buddies, girlfriends, and et cetera, to enjoy soccer games, concerts, if you will, rodeos or whatever else that you had there at the People's Stadium, now called U.S. Bank, if you will. But for some reason or another, it was the suite, if you will, particularly the two that had been pirated by the Sports Facility Authority under color of legislative law. Everybody knew what done. In fact, 2 years ago, we spent quite a bit of time on this program, you know, raising the question, opening the phone lines for anyone that wanted to challenge or to have a sincere concern about what was happening, because the legislative commission comprised of Democrats and Republicans from both the House and the Senate never raised a whimper, if you will, never raised a whimper, never said a thing, never expressed and showed any concern, and et cetera, that the stipulations of the legislation, of the law, were not being adhered to. Again, this was a part of our attempt to reach out to the legislative auditor, Mr. Nobles, to ask him to exercise the authority vested in him. You know, this is the way white folks like to talk to us, black people, the power invested, and et cetera. They certainly can speak that dialogue when they are sending us to the penitentiary, if you will, or when they are denying and violating our franchise as American citizens and et cetera. The law can apply there. The law cannot apply when one talks in terms of what should have been guaranteed involvement, if you will, in the construction of the People's Stadium and then all things that were to happen afterwards. Star Tribune, too, by the way, knew what was going on. But as the Trump juggernaut began to emerge across the country and with the victory, think about it, wasn't it interesting that the Star Tribune did not decide to write about and quote-unquote do their expose until approximately 19 days after the results of the Vladimir Putin-led quote-unquote election results. Yes, we said, you heard what we said, not Vladimir Putin. And the Russian hackers and the other kinds of activities that were taking place. That in itself is interesting because, again, the Star Tribune had sent photographers. We refer you to a picture in the Minneapolis Star Tribune a couple weeks ago, which showed the husband of the current mayor of the city of Minneapolis, Betsy Hodges, and an entourage of his buddies and et cetera, that included all of basically the top, quote-unquote, so-called leaders in the African-American community, but also the specific cadre of individuals who had carried significant water and who were rewarded on October 8th by the Sports Facility Authority for a job well done in blocking any kind of examination of authentic African-American participation in the construction, quote-unquote, of the People's Stadium. All of these things were calculated, coordinated, if you will, and certainly anticipated. I indicate to you again, I found it very interesting, the article of 27th of November did not emerge until they were comfortable that Donald Trump had won the presidency and almost won the state of Minnesota, if you will. Now, when the so-called investigative report began at the Star Tribune, the first thing that they needed access to was the names of all the freeloaders who were going into the games, if you will. It was the Dallas game, for those of you that are sports-oriented, if you will, and sports-versed. It was the Dallas game because there was a lot of conversation prior to that game. Dallas on a real roll, winning streak, and et cetera. Vikings desperate to try to make it into the playoffs to make some more money for the owners of the Vikings, the Wolf family. And so there was a lot of attention, a lot of big Texans, a lot of big oil money, a lot of big white money, if you will. And then, of course, there was always the entourage of hang-ons, quote-unquote, from the African-American community. And so it was interesting the kind of pressure that was being applied with regards to getting the colored tickets, if you will, or the colored access, because none of the folks that are now named on Star Tribune and other websites in the last 48 hours, none of them paid a penny. While the common citizen, if you will, those who had been the loyal supporters of the Minnesota Vikings during the days that they were out there freezing at Met Stadium out there, and then the Humphrey Dome, if you will, and then TCF Stadium for 2 years, and et cetera. Now this beautiful Taj Mahal, if you will, the People's Stadium, again, we repeat the figure, 1.6 billion, if you will, not that BS 1.1 billion that they keep talking about, man, the cost overruns and et cetera. Oh, by the way, you, the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota, will, quote unquote, pick up that bill. The Vikings were very clever a year ago as they saw some overruns and et cetera, 15 million here, 12, 15 million there, 30 million here. They made sure they took care of that. But the real big money, the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota, are, quote-unquote, going to be required to pick that up. That's one of the reasons why Senator Rosen, who is coming in as the new chair of the Finance Committee, and she, who was the key author, by the way, when they were all playing that partisan politics working across the aisle and all of that BS, when she introduced the legislation, which became the People's Stadium, if you will. Now, all of this becomes important because the episode now has grown extremely ugly, if you will. There was a columnist in this morning's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune who indicated that apologies, you know, for the wrongdoing serves no purpose now, that people should have been keenly committed, notice the word, keenly committed, to doing what was necessary to make sure that righteousness, if you will, prevail. Well, we all know how that works in America, if you will. But it was the African-American delegation that has created a problem for the African-American, that same African-American group, and their quote-unquote reputations, if you will. Now, let me go back just a couple of minutes ago when we talked in terms of how out in front the Star Tribune was on this with regards to the pictures that were being taken of the two suites that were being used by the Sports Facility Authority. And that particular picture that came out a couple weeks ago that showed the husband of the mayor of the city of Minneapolis and some others, just off camera there was one of the most powerful African-American leaders and one of the most financially successful, actually, with regards to his own personal ventures, a business venture there inside of the People's Stadium and then just outside with his wings truck, if you will, and the wings that he is selling at the concession stand inside the stadium, and that is the very powerful Dr. King, if you will. In fact, things have grown so ugly here in just the last couple of days that someone is facilitating and sending out data, very sensitive data, with regards to additional compensation and monies that have been passed back and forth. And also, and one of the things that this commentator tried to do with the legislative auditor starting 3 years ago was the number of pass-throughs, what is called pass-throughs on contracts that allegedly were awarded to African-Americans on the stadium, starting with Triad Construction. That was as close to being criminal as possible, if you will. But after the event of October 8th here in our beloved city, where Negro leaders were brought in, were given the best of all the food, which they didn't pay for that either, but it was an appreciation it was appreciation luncheon for a job well done. You know, many of y'all that were there, you clearly know what the discussion was about and et cetera. But here's what began to turn some people off and got the attention of Republican-leaning law enforcement. Notice how we put that, Republican-leaning law enforcement. As a part of the security process for the People's Stadium, U.S. Bank, Homeland Security, see, a lot of people don't pay any attention to these kinds of things, but Homeland Security has a very significant role, as well as local authorities, the Sheriff's Department, the local police, the State Highway Patrol, but also entities like DEA. Now, why would the Drug Enforcement Administration want to be concerned? Well, it has to do with the movement of drugs and use of drugs in the facility, doing games and et cetera. Just like the use of drugs at a concert just less than 4 days ago at the State Theater, where there was so much dope being smoked and et cetera during the concert by Brother Kelly that police actually started making an arrest right there in the front row. All some of y'all saw it because the sister was being brought out and fighting with the police, and then she gave a karate kick to a white patron, a young female patron who was not paying any attention. She was just, you know, all tied up in Brother Kelly's music. But what has happened is that the amount of drug activity begin to overstep itself. And what happened was the Homeland Security have these very well-trained dogs. I mean, you know, real dogs, real dogs. And these dogs can detect a lot of things, including explosives, residue, and et cetera, but also drugs. And what happened was a couple of new leaders, if you will, got yourselves identified and put under surveillance because the dogs had detected that you were carrying. Now, you're lucky that they didn't think that you were carrying explosives, because some of you wouldn't be here now, if you know what I mean. But because of electronic surveillance and et cetera, it was determined that some of you African-American leaders were bringing drugs into the stadium and were entertaining yourselves. Sometimes you'd take a break, go into one of those private bathrooms there, snort up a little bit. Oh, yes. You'd be surprised at the conversations that are going on now and how this will be handled during the hearings of the legislature under the not only the supervision of Senator Rosen, but there may be one or two other committees that have jurisdiction to raise the question. By the way, as we said on this program just a couple weeks ago intentionally, the report that was under color of law that was to be made available to the public with regards to all expenditures and et cetera as of a specific date, that basically being the 30th of June, if you will. That report, which was to have come from a commission, which was co-chaired by our beloved state senator, Bobby Joe Champion, that report did not show up. Now, James Noble, the legislative auditor who now looks like the great champion of the people, was made aware that the final report of the special commission appointed by the legislature on behalf of itself, both the House side and the Senate side, in fact, the House representative she was a white female, and the Senate representative was an African-American male. We indicated that earlier. And so when those pictures were taken that showed y'all back up in there partying and playing, man, and doing your thing in the name of, representing the prosperity that had befallen, at least according to your version, the African-American community, if you will, the system knows well that there was no prosperity. There was prosperity for some of you individually. Now, some of your names have emerged, and by the way, some of you are under pressure right now to pay, quote-unquote, your fair share. Some of you were tricked by Rochelle Olson of the Minneapolis Star Tribune and a couple other reporters who a couple of weeks ago asked specifically about your obligation to pay your debt, if you will, of the free access, free food, free drink, and et cetera. And some of you, my leaders, misrepresented and did not tell the truth about the fact that you had paid. Now, that's one of the reasons, as an example, that former Vice President Walter Mondale hurried up and wrote a check for $375 for an event that he attended and didn't pay for, His son is now scurrying to try to remember how many of his buddies and their girlfriends and et cetera he invited to games, other than the Dallas game, if you will. But it was the Dallas game that put you all away, because some of you had been talking a little bit too much on your telephones and et cetera, about what kind of partying you were going to be doing here, how you could also go out in the hood. There was supposed to be a couple little gatherings and a couple of private places in the community, if you will, with innocent young African-American women, if you will. Come on, y'all. I know y'all get a little nervous. The stomach gets a little bit upset. But it should, because, you see, James Noble really doesn't feel, and I think it's correct. I've known James for many, 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 many years. He really doesn't have any relationship or any affinity for Negroes, if you will. So he, you know, his position is he owe y'all nothing, if you will. And if in the course of probing, and that's what he's doing, and he's going to have his report ready in early January, and Senator Rosen, she's going to take that report, and they're going to start having hearings. Oh, you know what they're going to do? They're going to bring you in and have you swear under oath about how you even got involved and who it was that told you, when they told you, how they told you that you could, you know, just exercise whatever prerogative that you thought you could get away with and you would not have to pay for anything. You could violate the law, the gift law, you know. Rochelle Olson, again, of the Star Tribune, has detailed some of that, and she has a strong contingent of veteran writers there behind her who are helping her put this together. And like I said, there was a reason this morning, you know, that Boone chose on a very wintry day. Oh, by the way, it was no accident either that the headline on the top of the story on James Noble, for those that are in our domestic and international audience, 10 black. See, they say 10 U football players out. I mean, come on. All of the 10 football players that have been thrown off the team and will not be able to play in Pasadena in the game on, what, the 27th of December are all black, if you will. That's another story for another time. Maybe one of our black papers or something. Oh, they've got to be careful because there were some of you affiliated with some of our black papers that the man is waiting for them checks to be written out to take care of them expenses that you incurred, if you will. Oh, let me say for the record, yours truly was not a part, never would be a part of this kind of shenanigans and illegal action, if you will. I knew it was a trap a long time ago when I started hearing the stories, when I started hearing about how people were being brought in and told what they were supposed to say and how they were supposed to say it, if you will, particularly in protection of Alex Tittle, who actually was rewarded for his violation of the statutory agreements of the Act creating the stadium. In fact, he was rewarded, if you will, and given the position of a vice president, if you will. By the way, on the stadium, one of the things that old James Nobles may want to take a look at is all of that money that has already disappeared from the company that handles all of the commissary, if you will, and food and such. Man, so much money. The Philadelphia Mafia is taking so much money out of this stadium that it's going to be interesting to see at the end of the season. And because the Vikings are not going to make the playoffs, there won't be an opportunity to cover that off. We repeat again, for those of you that are close listeners, if you will, who know the workings and what has been happening at the People's Stadium, the taxpayers of the state of Minnesota should be just absolutely ticked off with regards to the amount of fraud, plunder, theft, and et cetera that is going on right now as we speak. But it's like this other piece we're getting ready to as we go into the last 19 minutes of tonight's program. Sometimes you deserve what it is you get. And I'm hearing a lot of crying and wailing at the walls and et cetera about Donald Trump winning. Let me just also be clear on that. I in no way voted for him, but I saw it coming. And on my television programs and on these programs, we talked about the fact of the possibility because you could see some things happening. And also in the international circles, it was quite clear from those that understand the gathering of intelligence information that something was going on and that the Russians were behind it, if you will. Vladimir Putin had basically indicated to his Chinese counterparts that he wanted to handle this, that he saw this as a golden opportunity. to enhance some things, and one of them was the billions and billions and billions of dollars in the oil deal that was being made with the man who is now being pushed to be the next Secretary of State. And so 2 days ago on our website, if you will, I have coined the phrase, the East Kremlin and the West Kremlin. Now, the East Kremlin, of course, is in Moscow and has been in place since the 1920s, if you will, when a man by the name of Joseph Stalin began to come to power after the overthrow of the czars and et cetera. And there's all kinds of material out there for those of you that have the time and know how to find it and know what it is you're looking at. So the Kremlin has been in place. The East Kremlin has been in place. Television program to air here on Sunday. I have an interesting picture posted on the screen, and it shows our beloved president-elect, Donald Trump, if you will, a man who played a real game. I mean, talking in the vernacular of the brothers on the street, Donald Trump played real game, and he's going to take care of his buddies, and they're going to be made into billionaires beyond what it is that they already are. The oil deal, the embargoes, and et cetera, will be lifted. On the other hand, Donald Trump will attempt to keep your attention drawn to what he's going to do to the Iranians, if you will, and what he's going to do to the Chinese. We have said on our last two television programs here in the Twin Cities that we can anticipate if there is a military conflict, which is a possibility, with all of the generals and the billionaires who think that they can find bunkers and hunker down, if you will, if the tactical nuclear weapons are going back and forth. We estimate the initial casualties at 250,000, because it is quite clear that Donald Trump thinks that the little yellow man, if you will, who has never been defeated since they dropped the hydrogen bombs on the Japanese in 1945, since that time, this country has fought with the North Koreans and Chinese on the Korean Peninsula. They then went to battle with the little Vietnamese. In the meanwhile, they killed a lot of black folk in Panama and Grenada, for those of you that pretend that you don't remember those things. And, of course, since that time, he's been killing this country. We have been killing hundreds of thousands of brown-skinned people called Muslims in the Middle East, if you will. The Chinese have quietly been indoctrinating a lot of different countries with the fact that this country and the Russians, if you see, the Russians have never had a real understanding of the race question, even though they had a number of their satellite countries that on their southern flanks were of Muslim extraction and et cetera. The question of the continued genocide against people of color, be they Muslims, be they Chinese / Bhutus and et cetera, be they Vietnamese and et cetera, or be they just the under-sieged African-Americans here in the United States of America, be they the dark-skinned people of South America and Central America, if you will, that there is a serious conspiracy, and it's been in place for a long time. People try to disguise it sometimes as saying religion, but when, you know, the kill count is finally made official, it is people of color, it is brown and black and yellow, if you will. And Donald Trump and his entourage at this point, and keep in mind this, that for those that try to find all kinds of rationales and logic to talk in terms that give Donald a chance, he's a good man. This man, Donald Trump, president-elect of the United States of America, who will take official possession of the keys to the White House, if you will, at 12:01 Eastern Standard Time on the 20th day of January, is already being advised by his quote-unquote all-right, all-white neo-Nazi strategic advisor. I am fascinated, in a country that has been so wounded and so fractured by the actions of those, starting with the Confederacy of the United States, if you will, and all of the terrorist groups that came out of that, who were affiliated with the terrorist groups before the conflict at Fort Sumter in 1860. I'm amazed at the quietness, that there is not a greater sense of outrage. And think about it tonight, my friends, for those of you that are of the good Christian faith and who have prayed for Mother Emanuel and those 9 blessed innocent souls who were brutally murdered by white terrorists, a white traitor, if you will, a white madman, who now, as his confession is being played, looks very calm and collective and says that I wanted the world to know what I have done. That's the reason I allowed a beautiful African-American grandmother to live. That's not his words, because he sees us as animals, if you will. We have been talking for 2 years, both on this program, our television programs, our columns, that Mr. Root is one of the soldiers, quote-unquote, of one of the most dangerous armies in domestic America. The neo-Nazis, they come up with all kinds of different names now. They're all right, all white, and et cetera. But how is it that we can be so silent as a people, particularly we of the African-American persuasion who have suffered such pain and death at the hands of these savages, of these terrorists, and et cetera, and yet a man now sits at the right or the left hand of the president-elect of the United States. In fact, I wondered how President Barack Obama, in that meeting with Donald Trump a couple weeks ago, I wondered how Barack really felt looking into the face of a man who had already embraced as one of his closest advisors, a man whose platform, the entities that he has put together, even as a young white man, Brennan, I'm talking about, that his whole declaration was the incarceration, the destruction of the Negro race. Let me also say this to you out there who are a part of at least researching your history and et cetera. On my television program to air Sunday, I spend some time, about 12, 13 minutes, on the program that airs on MTN, the Minneapolis Television Network, reminding people of a combination of the Article 2 of the Constitution of the United States and events following the attack on Pearl Harbor, Wake Island, Midway, the Philippines, and et cetera, on the morning of December 7th, 1941. And I'm listening to people talk about what Donald Trump and his associates cannot do and that your rights are protected. For those of you that are out there with that kind of wishful thinking, go back and take a look at what happened to Japanese Americans, to the Nishi. And for those of you that are really concerned, you need to see if you can track down the American-Japanese Society, which used to be housed in a lovely building right off University there in St. Paul. Take a look at how easy it was in the days immediately following the bombing of Pearl Harbor and the anti-Jap explosion that took place across this country. Now, you have to understand, right, we didn't, you know, this country didn't put no Italians, no Germans, and no concentration camps. It was only the Japanese. If you want to fact, sometimes they were in such a rush to judgment that they even got the Chinese and Japanese confused, and the Mongolians and Indonesians, just as long as they were little yellow people and et cetera. But the point that we are making here tonight on this one is how easy it was to strip those Nisi, those Japanese Americans, of their citizenship, if you will. Many, many, many Japanese Americans born here in the United States thought they had the right of citizenship and et cetera. And the issue was never contested before the Supreme Court, et cetera. In fact, it took, 40 years after the end of the Second World War in April of 1945, before the Congress of the United States would even allow Japanese Americans to petition for the restoration, if you will, and for the restoring of their constitutional rights or the rights of their relatives, deceased, and et cetera. In fact, the only way that you could get out of those concentration camps, period, from basically February 1st, 1942, until May 30th, 1945, was that young Japanese men of military age could volunteer to join the army, and of course they would be deployed to the European theater, if you will. Of course, they were told that they couldn't be trusted to be sent to the Pacific, if you will. So that kind of tells you what was really part of, quote unquote, this mission. Also, always remember that the martial law administrator, the man who signed the documents and et cetera on behalf of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was a man by the name of Earl Warren, a great patriot, if you will, a great liberal, you know, a great white man. He was the martial law administrator. He rounded up every Japanese American in this country, and he sent them back into the heartland, if you will, including right here in Minnesota. Oh, yeah, see, the liberals here in my state don't talk about the internment. They use all kinds of references and reflections, just as long as they don't have to call it what it is, concentration camps. We had a nice big one here in Minnesota from 1942 to 1945. It was along the Minnesota River, down around a couple of towns called Savage, Chaska, and Shakopee, Minnesota. Japanese people, many of them American citizens, and their children and their babies and et cetera, lived like animals, if you will. And so for those of you that have grown comfortable with the fact that you could just maybe go into hiding and maybe over the next 4 years just pretend that you're not black and that's not you we see standing at the bus stop, if you will, or going into the police station, or maybe if you're real lucky, serving some food and working a job, you have to understand you will not be invisible. What has already been said by President-elect, Donald Trump, is that there will be a litmus test, if you will, and that there will be quarantine zones that will be established, if you will, and there will be special militia units, if you will, that will deal with the problems of, quote-unquote, the black insurgency and et cetera. In fact, I thought it was really disrespectful for the president yesterday with Kanye West. Did you know that the brother just got out of the hospital from having a nervous breakdown? Yeah, he had a nervous breakdown, man. In fact, he had started out trying to do a tour, and I think he got to St. Louis, and he fell out and went to screaming and hollering, and they had to put him in the rest home under restraints. He had the meets yesterday at Trump Towers with the president. You know, you heard the president, if you listen real close, president-elect. Put his hand on his shoulder and tell us, good talk to you, man. So we'll get back together again. And I thought, there's one of our new black leaders, Kanye West, if you will. Maybe Kanye West will handle, quote unquote, the issue of drug addiction in America. And by the way, it's going to increase. It's already being worked on. President-elect Donald Trump's main man, Mr. Brennan, has already got the plan in place, if you will. There will be an insurgency, a saturation, if you will descend upon the African-American community. But Kremlin West, you heard it here first, if you will. We are now a part of the Kremlin Network. Maybe y'all out there ain't got a clue on the kind of scam that has been run. And for those that have had the Constitution and the guts to indicate that this election was tampered with, of course, the Democrats and the Clinton camp are to be held responsible for not standing up and saying something, you know. And you just look at all of what is happening. By the way, let me say this in the last 3 minutes. It's no accident that our president-elect positioned himself early on, because this guy and his buddies had known since late August that the Russians were into the American political cycle, if you will, and were tampering, quote unquote, with any number of aspects of the electoral process, including the problem they're now having with the Electoral College, but that'll be something for another time. But again, for those of you that like reading and analyzing the Constitution, take a look at Article 2 of the Constitution and take a look at the requirements for the selection of the Electoral College, not the selection of the President and the Vice President. And by the way, keep this in mind, it is really interesting that the only political office that came out of the creation of the Constitution of the United States that does not need a popular vote to be determined the winner is for the office of President and the Vice President. Even the Congress of the United States, who maintained silence on this, and this was reaffirmed, by the way, in 1913 in an amendment to the Articles of the Constitution of the United States. Even the Congress of the United States is elected by a popular vote. And it makes you always wonder, well, if the Electoral College concept was good for the President and the Vice President, why didn't we just extend it to all members of the Congress, if you will? There's a reason for all that madness. And for those of you that are true historians, the reason for the Electoral College was to deal with, quote unquote, the six states of the original 13, who maintained they would not be a part of the Union unless they were given proportional representation based on a fair count of the negroes that they had under bondage and slavery. And actually, what it meant was that for every one white vote, that white person could receive and exercise the vote of anywhere from 4 to 5 to 6 to 10 to 12 black slaves that person had direct control of, and then his wife and uncles and his granddaddy and et cetera. Need to go back and take a look at some of the constitutional doctrine, if you will, papers, if you will, and the discussion pieces with regards to the real purpose of the Electoral College. But it doesn't make any difference now. Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin stole the election. Hillary Clinton wins by 2.5 million more votes. But the Democrats were so shell-shocked that they just didn't have the constitutional strength or the guts to stand up and call it for what it was. It was a stick-up, my friends. And that means that you are not guaranteed, I repeat again, you heard it on this night, on this program, from this location, you are not guaranteed that you will have a fair midterm election in 2018 when all members of the House of Representatives are to stand for re-election. Nothing is guaranteed. And the remaining 88 seconds that we have, we owe it all to Vladimir Putin, a man who now controls the Kremlin of the East, and the man that is in his back pocket, Vice President Donald Trump, is the man put in charge by Vladimir Putin of the Kremlin in the West. You never thought you'd see it happen here. Anyway, may God continue, hopefully, to keep his hand upon the shoulder of Americans who are still committed to the right purposes, if you will. And hopefully this is a country that will survive. I'm not sure that it will. And Zig Isle, to our friends up there in Sandpoint, Idaho, they were absolutely right when they said, we have won and stole this election. God bless you, America. Well, God bless Black America. Again, I'm Ron Edwards. This is the Don and Ron program. Good night.